Digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
You killed Tariq.
You can't let Father know. He wants me dead because I messed up with Debbie.
You ordered Tariq to kill him. To kill our own son.
Nothing will stand in the way of what needs to be done. Not him, not you.
Your father's following us.
What?
It was the only way I could save you.
Navi shoots Dina in the arm. Beruz tries to drive them away from danger.
I think I got it. This is really it. I can turn off the override and stop the remaining plants from melting down.
Did the best I could, so I hope it works.
So do I.
Edgar, what's going on? Why are some of the reactors still not shutting down?
Six of the reactors are immune to the kill sequence.
Contact Bauer. Either he finds the people responsible for planning the override, or we're looking at a nuclear holocaust.
Bauer and Audrey Raines left here about 5 minutes ago.
Where'd they go?
Felsted Security.
You're going to need to set things up on your end. When Jack Bauer and Audrey Raines are killed, CTU is going to know that someone inside leaked their location. Divert suspicion.
Fine.
Override device maintains heat levels within the reactor. They can melt down every one of those power plants. The man you saw when you were being held captive, right now he's our only lead.
Stop there. I think that's him.
They're trying to seal us off.
Shouldn't we call CTU?
No. CTU's gotta be compromised. That's the only way they'd know we were here.
And who are you calling?
The only person I can trust right now. Empty.
Jack and Audrey are rescued by Tony Almeida.
Tony!
The following takes place between 2 p.m. and 3 p.m.
Is there any chance this is a mistake? That the remaining six nuclear reactors are just taking longer to shut down?
No, Edgar rejected. Those plants are firmly in the grip of the override, which has been sealed off. We can't get in.
Did you send a list of the six affected cities to the president?
Yes, sir.
What about evacuation procedures?
We've already alerted the National Guard. We're just waiting to see how the president wants us to proceed.
Ms. Driscoll, president's ready.
Okay, put him on. Mr. President.
I understand we've been able to shut down 98 nuclear power plants.
Yes, sir. But as of now, it appears that our shutdown order will not be effective with the six remaining reactors.
Not going to be effective? What exactly does that mean?
I'm afraid it means that we could have six nuclear disasters on our hands.
What are the casualty projections if all six plants meltdown?
450,000 deaths in the first 24 hours. Long-range estimates in the low millions. And that's not taking into account the resulting cancers and birth defects.
Why were we able to shut down the other power plants but not these six?
Because they're still being controlled by the terrorists, sir.
You mean because of the override device that they stole today?
Exactly. We have to find the override device itself. It's a prototype, and the terrorists have the only one in the world.
All right, then let's find it. I'm going to order the evacuation of those six cities. Jim, keep me posted.
Yes, Mr. President.
All right, let's get back to work.
Yeah.
Mr. Secretary, it's Jack. Don't let anyone know you're talking to me. We got a problem.
I understand, Marcy. Let me see what I can do.
I have to take this call.
Yes, sir.
These are the projected numbers if we're able to get people out.
What's going on?
First off, sir, I want you to know that Audrey and I are safe, but there was an attempt made on our life in Felstead Security.
What?
A group of assassins, well-armed, well-trained, took out our entire security detail. You're going to need to send a forensic unit over to identify the bodies, but I don't want anyone at CTU to know.
Why not?
Because I think someone over at CTU is complicit in the attack.
How do you know that?
Sir, CTU is the only agency that knew where we were. No one else had that information.
One of Aaron's people working with the terrorists?
Yes, I think so. I just don't know who. But it's clear that they didn't want Audrey to make the ID of the man she saw when you guys were both being held.
I'm sending a Secret Service detail to pick you two up.
Sir, please don't do that. That's not the right thing to do here.
Why not?
I don't want anyone to know where we are. That way I know we'll be safe.
How do you want me to handle this?
Remember the sequence we developed for the Melbourne situation?
Yes.
Try that. I think it'll work.
Okay.
Sir, I've got to go. I'll get back to you as soon as I know we're safe.
Jack, take care of Audrey.
Yes, sir, I will.
Jack places a reassuring hand on Audrey's fragile shoulder.
Okay.
I'm
almost getting used to this.
Yeah. Tony, is it possible that we could have been followed?
No, we're clear.
Where are we going?
We need to lay low for a while.
What kind of communication do you need?
A Wi-Fi and a hard line.
All right, we'll go back to my place.
Okay. Thank you, Tony.
I'll wait till you see it before you thank me.
Thank you for picking us up, for saving our lives. I'm sure you're wondering what's going on.
Not really, no.
Something wrong?
What could be wrong? I'm not in federal prison anymore, thanks to you and President Palmer. Shell left me. You know what? Never mind. Why don't you tell me what this is all about?
You heard about Audrey and her father this morning.
Yeah.
We're in Felstead security so Audrey can make an ID of a man she saw during the kidnapping.
I don't get it. Why?
The secretary's kidnapping was just a cover. The terrorist's main objective is to gain control of American power plants from coast to coast. The man that Audrey saw, that's our only lead.
I thought you weren't in the field anymore, Jack.
I'm not. The secretary's my responsibility. I got caught up in it.
Yeah, well, listen to me very carefully. I don't want to get caught up in it. So you do whatever you need to do at my place. I'm staying out of it, all right?
Understood.
206. President Keeler speaks to the nation.
Today continues to be a challenge to the strength of the American spirit. We have a condition in six cities across the United States in which nuclear power facilities may become unstable. While we work to regain control over these facilities, I am also asking our National Guard to assist local authorities to effect an immediate evacuation of those six cities. This evacuation is only being issued for all persons living or working within a...
President didn't mention the fact that there isn't enough time left for complete evacuation.
If you are in one of these locations,
if those reactors melt down,
not be alarmed.
There'll be at least 50,000 dead per city.
You will receive very...
We still have time to try and find a way to prevent evacuation routes.
I can tell you now, Aaron, the chances of doing that from here are very low. We have to find the people who have the override device.
I assure you we have a reliable...
What about the hospitals north of there? Checking.
Called Dina's sister. There's no answer.
All right, I'll take care of it. You and Rafi go check the station again.
Okay.
The Americans have been able to shut down most of the reactors.
How many are under our control?
Six. More than enough to break their will. But I'm going to have to manage the override personally. Make sure those six melt down on schedule.
Is there anything I can do?
Yes. Take care of your mess.
Don't worry, Marwan. I give you my word. My wife and son will be dead by the end of this day.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer and Carlos Bernard as Tony Almeida, voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency.
Oh, we have to get you to a hospital.
No. Your father knows I've been shot. He'll be looking for us in all the hospitals.
Well, we're going to have to take a chance, Mom. You're hurt.
I'll be okay.
You won't. You need to get to a doctor. I'm not afraid of Father.
You should be.
He tried to kill me, and then he did this to you. He's not my father anymore.
Dina half faints with pain.
Mom, please.
All right. Drop me off at an emergency room. But then you have to drive away.
No. Whatever happens, we're staying together.
Beruz throws an anxious glance towards his wounded mother. 209, Marianne at CTU.
Jackie, I'm running a filter for Driscoll. Could you babysit it for a sec? I'll be right back.
Sure. Thanks.
Looking this way and that to be sure that she's not being followed, Marianne walks stealthily towards the ladies' room. Inside, she checks each cubicle one by one. Satisfied she's alone at last, she picks up her cell phone and speed dials a call.
Yes, Marianne?
I couldn't take your call. I was in a meeting.
Jack Bauer and Audrey Raines are still alive.
My information was accurate.
Yes, the location was correct, but they survived the attack. Are they headed back to CTU?
I haven't heard anything.
Bauer didn't call in?
Not that I'm aware of.
That doesn't make sense.
Actually, it makes perfect sense. Bauer knows there's been a security breach, and you can bet he's told someone here. I gotta get out.
No, you're to stay in until we take care of Bauer and the woman.
What about me? I am not gonna spend the rest of my life in jail.
You'll be taken care of. You know that. Now go.
A flustered Sarah bursts through the outer door.
There you are.
What do you need?
Division's waiting for those projections.
Well, they're ready to be sent.
Well, then send them.
Marianne chews over her situation. Meanwhile, Curtis shows Hella's jovial assistant into Hella's temporary office.
Yeah.
Sir, your assistant Scott Borman just arrived. Should I send him in?
Secretary, it's good to see you safe and sound, sir.
Thanks, Scott.
Sit down.
Is there a problem, sir? There's a big problem. Someone inside CTU is leaking information to someone on the outside.
What do you need me to do?
I need you to go to Aaron Driscoll. Tell her that Jack Bauer is no longer at Felstead Security and that he's watching surveillance videos at the old CTU substation in Torrance.
Anything about when Jack will call in?
When they identify the man that Audrey saw.
I take it Jack and Audrey are nowhere near the CTU substation.
Right. We're trying to flush out the mall.
Then you'll need me to put a DOD commsat envelope around this place.
And if anyone sends out a communication containing the information you planted, that's the spy.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
211. End of part one. Tony arrives with Jack and Audrey at his modest bungalow in suburban Kipling.
Watch your step. The dog next door likes our yard.
Tony unlocks the front door, which opens directly onto a simple, unfussy sitting room.
Here we are, home sweet home.
As Tony casually throws down his keys and slips off his jacket, Jack nervously checks around the apartment. A grungy young woman appears from one of the doors.
Oh, God! Who the hell are you?
Hey, Jack, it's okay. This is my friend, Jen.
Tell him to play with his guns outside.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm sorry. What are you doing here anyways? I thought you were working.
I'm going in late.
This is Jack and his friend Audrey. This is Jen.
Hi.
I saw you on TV today. You're the daughter of the Secretary of Defense. You and your old man were kidnapped this morning. Yeah. What's going on?
I'm helping him out with something.
Could you be a little more specific?
We need to use Tony's computer.
Well, they don't have computers where you work.
Situation here, all right? They need to lie low for a little bit. We can't let anybody know they're here, all right?
Whatever. I'm leaving anyway.
Tony.
Jen, you can't go anywhere.
Why not?
We can't leave until Jack and Audrey take off. We can't take a chance.
What kind of chance? I work at a bar.
I'm sorry, Jen. We're not gonna be long.
Look, stay as long as you want. I have a job. He doesn't. Can I talk to you for a second? Please.
Sorry. No, she seems real sweet.
Look, we were fighting for our lives a few minutes ago, and if it hadn't been for Tony, we would have been dead. Now, I've been through a lot today, and I'm sure when this is all over, your boss will understand. And if he doesn't, I can have him killed.
She grins at the thought.
Knock yourself out.
Thank you. How are you guys making out?
Good. I just have to convert this so I can read it. And then hopefully you can make an ID from the surveillance video.
I have some software for that. Let me dig it out.
Thanks.
You told me about Tony, but I didn't know that Michelle left him.
Yeah, a few months after he got out of prison.
Well, I thought he went to prison because of her. He saved her life and she paid him back by leaving him.
That's the way Tony sees it too. Didn't happen exactly like that. Tony got out of prison, he was angry. He couldn't get a job. Personally, I don't think he wanted one. He started drinking. He pushed her away.
What is she doing now?
A deputy director over at Division.
I hope he can help us.
If he can, he will.
All right, here we go.
You got it, Tony?
Yeah, right here.
Thanks.
Jack uploads data from a CD onto Tony's PC.
We're in.
Start the ball rolling with Driscoll?
Yep. Headed into her briefing now.
She's not going to be happy when she finds out we're using her to flush out the mole.
I'm surprised you felt we need to keep her in the dark about this one.
As long as there's a leak in CTU, we keep everyone in the dark.
2:20. Borman heads straight for Driscoll's briefing room.
So make sure that you're online and that your databases are unlocked. As soon as Jack sends in the image, we need to be able to move as quickly as possible to make this ID, okay?
I don't understand why Jack's doing this at the old substation.
No, apparently there's technical reasons. I didn't speak with him directly.
Who did?
I did. He also asked that his whereabouts be kept strictly internal until he contacts us.
All right, let's go.
The briefing over, CTU staff hurry back to their workstations. A very pensive-looking Marianne walks back to her desk more calculatedly than most. She looks out of the corner of her eye to check that no one is watching her. She reaches into her handbag and dictates a simple message into a handheld digital voice recorder and hooks it up to her system.
Old CTU substation in Torrance.
Meanwhile, Audrey pours through the Felstead security footage on Tony's PC.
I remember this lady. We saw him around here. There he is.
Jack zooms in.
You sure that's him?
Yes.
I'm gonna run this through the DC office. She's on the phone. Can't ever make him calls.
2:22. Tony argues with Jen.
I can't go to work now. I can't talk on the phone.
Just give me the phone.
Go to hell.
Give me the damn phone.
Fine.
He returns with a cordless phone and places it next to the PC.
Go ahead.
Jack calls the Department of Defense in Washington, D.C.
This is Marcy.
Marcy, it's Jack. I'm sending you the image we need ID'd.
We're ready to receive.
Okay.
Borman and Heller.
You positive this came from her system?
Yeah. The voices were digitized and scrambled, but we were able to clean it up enough to make out the word CTU substation.
Where's security?
They're on their way.
Thanks, Scott.
Heller climbs the stairs to Driscoll's office.
Yes, Mr. Secretary.
Aaron, I'm sorry to report there's been a breach in CTU.
What?
The information Scott gave you about Jack is false.
What do you mean, false?
Jack and Audrey were ambushed at Felstead Security. They survived the attack. But it's clear that someone in this office gave them up.
With all due respect, sir, you knew about this and you didn't tell me.
Being left out of the loop is not something you should be concerned about.
I assume you're telling me now because your sting operation yielded a result.
Yes, it did. Read that.
Heller slaps a file onto her desk.
Where is she?
She's about to be taken into custody. Join me.
2:23. Her pride hurt, Driscoll obediently follows Heller back down the stairs towards the main concourse. Borman approaches with a detail of red-shirted security guards, marching with great determination and purpose. Marianne looks up from her workstation, her poker face parked in neutral. They close in on her, only to walk straight past. The posse stops at a workstation. The suspect is Sarah.
Ms. Driscoll, what's going on?
Go with these men.
What for?
You're under arrest, Gavin.
You've been passing classified information.
What? What are you talking about?
Take her to holding.
Yes, ma'am.
Holding? Ms. Driscoll, what are you doing? Ms. Driscoll, I haven't done anything. Ms. Driscoll, this is a mistake. What is happening?
Back to work.
A twisted smile passes Marianne's lips. 2:25. End of part two. Part three. 2:29. Borman.
I don't care how you divide up her files. I just want everything off her system and then sent to me. And enter new passcodes.
We can't just do this on your authority.
Edgar. It's okay.
But he works for DOD, not CTU.
Yeah, well, he's the one that found the mole, right? And Heller wants him to have joint authority. Finish up here and get back to Station 2. The program we set up for the reactor is almost finished compiling.
Can I see this? What makes you so sure Sarah's the mole?
She was sending out encoded information about Jack Bauer.
I don't think she would compromise Bauer or the investigation.
That's how she was able to fool everybody, Edgar. She's the last person you'd expect to do it.
All right. Just give me those files.
It's right here. 2:22 p.m. mesh, it said. Old CTU substation in Torrance. This doesn't seem weird to you that she would leave it on a system like this?
She didn't just leave it. It was encrypted.
Yeah, with a Bainbridge algorithm. Come on, it's so old school, it's like saying, please decode me.
Let's face it. Sarah wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Driscoll enters Sarah's holding room.
Please, Miss Driscoll. I promise you there's been some kind of mistake.
How could there be a mistake? Your system was isolated. The message was sent from it while you were there.
Somebody set me up. That's the only explanation I can think of.
Tell me how that's possible.
Someone backed into my system through a subnet, planted something.
That's the first thing we checked. None of them were compromised. Let's stop playing games.
Thousands of people's lives are at stake. Where are the people who control the override? I don't know. That's what I was working on.
Who did you send the message about Jack to?
I didn't. Miss Driscoll, I would never betray our country or endanger people's lives. You know that.
Is it the same contact who coordinated the attempt on Jack and Audrey's life at Felstead Security?
I don't know. It wasn't me.
I learned my lesson today with Sherrick, and I am no longer going to err on the side of caution in these interrogations. Do you get my meaning?
I don't know what to say.
Driscoll looks towards the one-way mirror, and moments later, torture specialist Eric Richards enters the room.
Eric, no. Please don't do this. Eric! Miss Driscoll!
Eric jabs a taser into Sarah's neck. Electric shock sends her neck muscles into painful contortions.
Please stop.
If you want it to stop, you tell me where the Dobson override is and who has it.
I swear I don't know anything.
Driscoll nods at Eric.
Wait. There's got to be an explanation for this. Got to give me some time to think.
Driscoll nods again, and the taser convulses her neck. Driscoll coolly paces back and forth, biding her time, weighing up the odds.
Talk to me, Sarah. Talk to me.
Miss Driscoll, I'm not a spy. I'm not. Please believe me.
2:33. Driscoll consults Heller.
Driscoll, please.
I'm concerned.
Do you think you can break her in time?
I can break her in time if she's guilty.
A According to Scott, there is no way that this could be a mistake.
I agree, it's hard evidence. But I've known Sarah for 8 months and she doesn't fit the profile.
How do you want to handle it?
I'll watch for a few more minutes, then I'll go back in.
I'll brief Jack.
Please. Eric. Eric.
What are you doing?
Just checking the surveillance from later that night to see who he's talking to.
Did you find anything?
No, not yet.
Anybody want a beer?
I could use one.
Ms. Bauer?
Found our mole.
Who is it?
Sarah Gavin, works in comm.
Is she working alone?
As far as we know.
Okay, I'll call Marcy. Tell her the CTU channels are open. We'll start sharing data.
How's what we doing?
It's good, she's resting. So I think now would be a good time to send someone to have her picked up. We're at 21408 Kipling, North Hollywood.
What's there?
A friend.
I'll send the Secret Service.
Thank you, sir.
Jack approaches Audrey, reclining on the sofa.
Your father's sending someone over to pick you up, take you back to CTU.
Jack glances over at the Simpson-esque sight of Tony ogling the football on TV with a mug of beer in his hand and switches off the TV like a concerned parent.
Don't you think you've made me miss enough TV today, Jack?
2:35. Jack sits next to Tony for an overdue heart-to-heart.
Why didn't you ever call me? For what?
I've been there. I could help.
I'm considered a traitor to this country. My wife left me. So how are you going to help me, huh, Jack? I owed you for getting me out of prison. But today I repaid that debt. To tell you the truth, all you do is remind me of a past I'm trying to forget. So why don't you do me a favor? Do what you need to do here. And let's leave it at that. All right?
Jack gives Tony a friendly pat on the leg and switches the TV back on. Tony stares moodily into his beer. 2:41. A hospital treatment room.
So how did this happen?
I was working in the yard and backed into a nail that sticks out of our gate.
The doctor examines the wound more closely.
This looks like a gunshot wound.
I'm afraid it was nothing that exciting, Doctor.
It was my fault. I was supposed to fix that gate last week.
All right. You're gonna need a tetanus shot. And I'll stitch it up.
Thank you, Doctor.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
The doctor peels off his rubber gloves and leaves.
Go watch.
Beruz runs to the door and peers through the reinforced glass to see the doctor chatting to a nurse further down the corridor.
What's going on?
He said something to the nurse.
Did he make a phone call?
Not that I could see.
Did she?
No.
Good.
Maybe it wouldn't be so bad if they called the police. At least the police could protect us from Father.
It would be bad to go to jail for the rest of our lives. That's what would happen.
So where are we going to go after we leave here?
you can get out of the city and stay somewhere for a couple of days. I can arrange for us to get out of the country.
Beruze embraces his tearful mother. 2:43. Jack receives a call on his cell phone.
Yeah?
Jack, it's Marcy. We got a match.
Who is it?
His name is Henry Powell. I posted everything on the secure site.
Hold on a second. Okay, I got it.
He's a computer consultant. He used to work for McLennan Forrester.
Wait a second, McLennan Forrester. They're the defense contractors that design the override devices controlling the power plants.
Yeah, well, he's not there anymore, but he freelances for them, and he's definitely still in L.A.
How do you know that?
Because he's trying to leave the city. We just found out he scheduled a chopper to meet him in Van Nuys in 15 minutes.
I thought all air traffic had been grounded.
It is. He must have some well-connected friends.
He got a special clearance.
Son of a bitch. Where in Van Nuys?
The helipad at the Larchmont building.
Okay, I'm going to want you to ground his flight, but not until I get there. I don't want him to see me coming.
Jack, they're here.
Can you make it in time?
I'm gonna try. We get you things, we gotta go.
Jack strides out to meet the Secret Service vehicles.
Agent Davis, Secret Service.
Jack Bauer. You're gonna take the Secretary's daughter straight back to CTU.
Those are our orders.
Okay, you got a car for me?
It's right over there.
Thank you.
Audrey, get ready.
This is Agent Davis, he's gonna take care of you.
Okay. Be careful.
I will, you too.
As Audrey leaves, Jack makes a call on his cell phone.
CTU Patterson.
This is Jack. Let me speak to Aaron Driscoll.
Right away.
Jack, just got the file on Henry Powell. I'm going through it now.
He's trying to leave the city. I've got to get over to Van Nuys.
You want air backup?
No, I want to keep a low profile.
I don't want to spook him.
As soon as I can get you a ground package, it's 30 minutes.
That's going to be too long.
What does this flight do to take off?
This is 15 minutes.
What do you want to do, Jack?
He's most likely on his own. I'm going to have to try and handle this myself.
All right, I'll send a team anyway.
I'll be in touch.
What are you going to try and handle by yourself?
Don't worry about it. It's covered.
Jack, it'd be pretty stupid of me to let you die right after I risk my life trying to save you. Could you use my help?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
As Jack leaves the house, Tony throws on his jacket. He pauses by the front door. Looks back at Jen, who stares back at him moodily, and without saying anything, leaves. 2:45. Back at CTU, Edgar can't stop mulling over Sarah's supposed guilt. As Curtis descends the stairs towards the concourse, Edgar bounds over to him. Marianne watches discreetly.
Curtis.
Yeah, Edgar.
Has Sarah confessed anything yet?
No.
What are they doing to her?
Don't worry about it. Just head back to work, huh?
Marianne darts over to Curtis to stay ahead of the game.
Curtis, what did Edgar want?
Why do you care?
Well, you should let him know we need his full attention.
Get back to your station.
Defeated, Marianne returns. Edgar eyes her with suspicion every step of the way. Meanwhile, the doctor readies a syringe to inject Dina's injured arm.
What's that?
Just something to numb the arm so that I can close the wound.
Beruze nods.
Okay.
I really wish you let me admit you. This wound is serious. There's a chance of an infection here.
No, doctor, please. Do whatever you can and we'll leave. Beruze, where are you going?
Beruze leaves the room to check for police, only to see a patrol car arrive at the main entrance. He rushes back.
Mom, the police are here.
Did you call the police?
This is a gunshot wound.
I told you it wasn't.
Then why are you acting so strangely?
Oh, let's go.
She didn't leave. You need treatment. Susan, get some.
Wait. Let's go.
Beruze helps his mother out into the car park.
Come on. Come on.
Draping her injured arm in her blouse, Beruze ushers his mother into the car and jumps into the driving seat. Before any police or security guards can get anywhere near, Beruze drives away from the hospital. The doctor points to their car as it burns towards the freeway. ...2:48. End of part 3. Part 4. 2:52. Edgar sets up something on his computer screen and pounds over to Marianne.
Marianne?
What is it, Edgar?
About an hour ago, you asked me to bump up your security clearance. I was a little busy with the override, but I finally got it for you.
Edgar hovers.
What?
You'll need to pick a password. I set up the screen on server 5.
Edgar taps at her keyboard.
There you go. You need to use the same password as the one that unlocks your system files.
Okay.
Edgar quickly returns to his workstation. Looking over his shoulder at Marianne, he checks that she's entering her details into the screen. A moment later, the same screen flashes up on Edgar's computer, filling up with Marianne's coded password. Edgar unlocks the code and gains access to Marianne's files. Edgar throws another surreptitious look towards Marianne. This time she sees him and becomes suspicious. As he hacks into her system, a message flashes up on the screen. Old CTU substation in Torrance.
Edgar. Why do you keep looking at me?
I don't keep looking at you.
Let's go outside. I want to talk to you in private.
I don't want to talk to you in private. I have a lot of work to do.
It is getting incredibly tedious, Edgar, to have to remind you repeatedly that I could step into Driscoll's office any moment and have you fired.
Edgar spots Curtis and steams over to him with righteous determination.
Curtis, I need to talk to you.
What is it?
I need you to walk with me to Driscoll's office.
Walk with you.
Please, Curtis.
Let's go.
2:55. Marianne bites her fingernail with worry as Edgar and Curtis climb the stairs to Driscoll's office. Driscoll sits talking to Borman.
What is it?
You got the wrong person. Sarah's not guilty of anything.
How do you know?
Because I just sneaked into Marianne's system. She used Sarah's to communicate outside of CTU. Made it look like Sarah was the one.
It's not possible. Sarah's workstation was isolated from the subnet.
She didn't use the subnet.
How'd she get through?
She's a plain old AC power line.
What?
That's the last place anybody would ever look. Plus, it has plenty of bandwidth to carry the signal. Where is she?
Curtis sees her make a dash for the exit.
She's trying to leave the building. Lock down the exit.
Curtis runs after her in hot pursuit. Marianne heads through an outer door, pursued by Curtis and several security guards. Marianne dashes into the car park and, struggling in her heels, makes a beeline for her car. She fumbles in her bag for her keys, but is apprehended by Curtis before she has any chance of escape.
You're under arrest. Examine the contents. Impound the car, strip and search it. I got her.
As Marianne is led away, a CTU agent goes to search the car. As he pushes the key into the lock, he triggers an explosion and disappears in a ball of flame. The force of the blast throws Marianne against a car, and she collapses unconscious to the ground. ...2:57. Henry Powell, the man identified by Audrey, arrives at the Van Nuys heliport and confidently strides out to a waiting helicopter.
Mr. Powell.
Yeah, let's go.
Sorry, sir, we can't.
What?
Flight's been grounded.
No, McLeod enforced her a special ordinance. The paperwork was sent.
I know, but the order was superseded.
By who?
Department of Defense.
Powell pulls out a gun.
You're going to fly me out of here.
Please, sir.
Now!
Powell forces the pilot into the cockpit at gunpoint. The pilot complies.
Just get us in the air and fly east.
The rotor blades begin to turn, and the pilot readies the helicopter for takeoff. Jack and Tony approach the heliport in a four-track and immediately spot Powell's helicopter.
There it is.
Jack takes a shortcut and drives off-road into a dip to emerge directly behind the helicopter in Powell's blind spot. Jack and Tony jump out and approach the cockpit from either side. Tony challenges the pilot while Jack sneaks up on gun-toting Powell.
Do not take off! Do not take off!
Hands in the air!
Go! Go! Shut it down!
I said now! Come on! Move! Hurry up! Drop the weapon now! Now!
Truck.
The people I know, they'll pay you.
Shut up!
Jack searches Powell.
I got his cell phone. Bring me the bag.
Put your hands behind your back.
Jack handcuffs Powell. Meanwhile, Audrey is safely reunited with her father back at CTU. Curtis looks on in shock at the burning wreck of Marianne's car. Barely conscious, Sarah is taken out of the holding room in a wheelchair. Beruz drives his wounded mother, not knowing where to go next. And as Edgar continues to battle against the Dobson override, an icon flashes up on the big screen emblazoned with the words, "Level critical." Tony grabs Powell's bag from the cockpit and darts back over to Jack, where he throws it onto the bonnet of the four-track. As Jack examines the folded suit bag, Tony covers Powell.
Who are you guys? Police? FBI?
Actually, I'm currently unemployed.
I'll make it worth your while.
Put him in the back.
Come on.
A single shot rings out from a sniper's rifle positioned on a nearby roof. Powell collapses to the ground. As Jack takes cover, Tony fingers Powell's neck for a pulse.
He's dead, Jack.
Damn it!
3 p.m. The end.